All right, guys. So, sorry you don't get to hear Jared today. You get to hear me.
Amen.
But I'm going to try to do what the Lord would have me to do and hopefully just be in prayer with me. Honestly, through this lesson, I always say that because I mean it. And I definitely want the Lord to give you guys what you need when it comes down to it. Let me see here. No, you're good. I just kind of wanted to start off with something pretty simple, guys, with the concept of over here that's found in Revelation. So turn over to Revelation 17. You know, a lot of people think this is a big, scary book, and it is. Revelation is probably one of the scariest books, but it's also probably one of the books I think is one of the most exciting books, too, because it talks about a lot of things that are to come and that we can look forward to. Honestly, here in the near future. And there's a chapter over here in Revelation 17, and I was reading through it this past week, and it was kind of sticking with me, a couple of things that I noticed. And we know there's a couple of things that are laid out in Revelation, just talking about this time period of what's going to happen, and the tribulation, or basically like hell on earth. And there was something that stuck out to me in chapter 17 and in chapter 18 that some people did. And it had to do with just kind of like, ultimately, what they were willing to give up for an hour. What they were willing to give up for an hour. So over here in Revelation 17, it says this in verse 12 and 13 is where I'm going to start. And it says, "And then 10 horns, which thou sawest, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdoms as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength and their strength unto the beast." So right here, it's talking about some leaders that are to come. But ultimately, these leaders haven't yet been established. But what these kings do is they give their power for 1 hour of reign on this earth. And basically what they had to do was just to say to themselves that basically reigning with the Antichrist or this beast is worth 1 hour of reigning with down here on this earth is what they said. And so this made me think about a simple concept. And I want you guys to truly think about this within your life right now before we get into anything else. If you had 1 hour to do anything, write this down on your paper because I want to go around the room and ask you guys this after this too. If you had 1 hour to do anything that you could do in the world, anything that you could do, what would you do with 1 hour? So the next 2 minutes, think about that. If you had 1 hour, what would you do? 1 hour. You could do anything in the world. Think about it. These are some things that I thought about. What are some things? What would I do with an hour? Would I like to be the president for an hour? I mean, you could do anything. I could be a president. What if you could be like? Think about it, like The Purge. You know, like the movie The Purge, right? Some of you have probably seen it. They have one day a year where they do what? They say that you can go around and kill anybody. That's a pretty wicked society. I would not want to live in anything like that. But think about if the roles were reversed in the sense of you don't get to kill anybody, but there's one day in your life where you got to pick for 1 hour, you could do anything. Think about it from that context. Think about it. And some of the things that I thought about was like, well, okay, maybe if I was smart, maybe I would say that I would do some time traveling. You know, maybe I would freeze the time that I'm in. Maybe I would go to a certain point and like try to freeze and get the full enjoyment of that time. Maybe I would invest a certain amount of money. Maybe I would go on a trip somewhere. Maybe I would try to, you know, join the Air Force and be a fighter pilot. I always loved, you know, fighter planes and wanting to fly those things. Maybe I would go back in history and see what Hitler was like. I don't know, maybe Napoleon. Maybe one of the famous great people that we always hear about down throughout history. I don't know, maybe I'd go to outer space. I mean, the options are endless. Think about what you could do if there's no limitations, what would you do with this hour? And I just kept thinking. And I was just like, what if I wanted to be a musician? Or what if I wanted to be like a NASA scientist or a doctor or a politician or a CEO? for an hour. And, you know, think about that, because what if you just invested some money into something that you knew was going to blow up one day, and then you could be set for the rest of your life, right? You know, think about those possibilities, what you could do with an hour. And that's what it got me thinking about with this verse. So right now, I want to ask you guys, as you thought about this, I hope you, hopefully you thought about this, what you thought what you would do with an hour. JJ, you know what you would do?
I would probably try to fix some things I did wrong and like make myself try to think better, like focus on things that will actually last.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Let's go over here. Kenzie, what would you do with 1 hour?
Ride a horse on a beach.
Ride a horse on a beach. Anna, what would you do?
This is really sad, but the first thing I thought of was sleep.
Yeah.
But, like, the time travel thing is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could go back in time.
Mm-hmm. Probably get on a Broadway stage and perform.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mace?
Be, like, famous for, like, 1 hour.
Like,
you
know
what
that
feels like.
Mary Patrick.
Yeah.
Kins?
Probably go to, like, my future career and see if it's actually what I want to do for with the rest of my life before I spend my money on it.
Strategic.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Oh, I'm still writing this down.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Caleb.
I would get a 5-course meal from Gordon Ramsay.
Five.
Sir.
Just a bunch of money.
Just a money.
A bunch of money, that's what you would do for an hour? You said what?
Maybe like rob a bank or something.
Rob a bank. Jordan.
Go inside a black hole. Mm.
Unexplored territory, man. He ain't coming back.
Erica. I'm gonna embarrass you. Marry you and go to Greece.
Oh my gosh.
In an hour.
Yeah.
Only married for an hour. Only married for an hour.
We get married in Greece, though.
You should
know
what you do in the hour, like, could last, right?
Yeah.
Last for an
hour. I
didn't
know it could last.
That's what I said. I gave you some scenarios. I said you can make it last. You gotta think about it. Like, what if you just time travel? What would you say? You freeze time. Freeze time for an hour. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we like to think small. Jordan.
Be a kid in Ukraine and see what it's like over there.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm going to play by the rules of time travel here. And
right.
Lay them out to us.
I think that I would go back in time and I would go 1 year before I was born and I would let my mother know and let my father know that it's all going to be okay.
Aww.
I mean, like, and I'm not trying to, like, kill a vibe, but I just know...
You killed it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just know that I know before I was born, even when I was born, it wasn't the best, and there didn't look like there was a light at the end of the tunnel, but I would let my parents know that, like, especially my dad, that, like, it'll be better.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Drake?
I'd probably just go out to California to see my brother and sister-in-law and meet my second niece for the first time.
Yeah. Now, last but not least.
Okay.
Hello.
So the first thing I would do, I have two because I couldn't pick.
Oh,
I
come
would
on
go
now.
Back to last year and talk to my great grandma again.
Yeah.
And then I'd meet my favorite actress.
There you go. Those are good. Those are all good. They really are. And you know, thinking about these requests that we made, I mean, just think about how finite our minds are. I mean, that's what made me think about this whole concept, and that's what made me think about this thing over here in Revelation, because they were willing to do all the work that they had done in all their years was for what? 1 hour to reign with the beast, with the Antichrist. Does that really seem like it's worth it? And when you think about the things that you guys just said, is that really worth that hour? Because think about this, all those things, will it last after this life? Did any of those things that you say, will it go into eternity with you? But that's just the mindset that I'm trying to get us to understand. Is like we're so finite, we're so fixated on everything that we could do could be locked into this world right here, right now. But guess what, guys? At the end of the day, it's as simple as this. This life that we're in right now is a dream. Think about it. This life is a dream, and reality is to come. Have you ever thought about that? this, I mean, as a kid growing up, I always had dreams and those things seemed so real. But then guess what happened? I woke up at the end of it. You know, one day that's what this life is going to be like. It's going to be like a dream. And then one day we're going to wake up and we're going to be in reality, which is eternity. And that's a humbling thought. That is a very humbling thought when you really think about it. And this verse over here in Revelation 17, 12 dives into that because, like I said, here in the tribulation period, these people were willing to sell and give everything that they had for 1 hour, 1 hour. But let's go over here in Revelation 18 and let's see what happened to these people when they saw what was the end result of their labor and their work with the beast. So I'll read Revelation 17, 12 and 13 again. And it says this, and the 10 horns, which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. So they're not in power yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So this is a power and a reign that will come. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. Okay, well, this beast is talking about the Antichrist and what he's going to be doing in the millennial reign. I'm sorry. The tribulation, the second half of the tribulation. Now, let's look over here and see what he says in chapter 18. In chapter 18, I want you to see what happens over here in verse 8 and verse 10 and verse 17, 19, and we'll do this. So we'll pick it up in verse 8. And it says this over here in Revelation 18:8. It says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And he's talking about Babylon, or this city that these people had ultimately built their faith up into to reign for an hour. So over here in chapter 17, they built their power and their faith to reign with this king or with this beast, which is also known over here in chapter 18 as Babylon. And ultimately that they're seeing this city being destroyed in chapter 18 in one day. One day it got destroyed. Everything that they had built their power, their faith, their trust in was destroyed in one day. Let's keep reading. In verse 9, and the kings of the earth who hath committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Why? Because now they're seeing everything that they put and invested into that thing go up in smoke. Have you heard that term before? How you see something go up in smoke? Well, that's just everything goes back to the Bible right here. They're seeing all their works, their profits, their things going up in smoke. What's probably one of the most devastating things that happens in our world, in our lives today? Think about it, like when a huge storm comes through, or like a fire or something like that. And then what does it do? Or like a wildfire? It totally destroys those people's belongings, right? They've worked so hard for their house, their job, their career, their cars, all their possessions. And then what happens sometimes when a tornado comes through, or a wildfire, or some natural disaster? It's gone like that. And those people are in what? They're in shock. Well, that's what's happening right here. These people are in shock. Everything that they had put their faith in this world is now going up in smoke. It's going up in smoke. Look at verse 10. It says, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, that's all it took, is thy judgment come. The Lord's judgment came in 1 hour and destroyed that city. Let's keep reading. Let's see what she had built her faith and treasures up in. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What's the merchandise? The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, and of pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of the most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men, and the fruits that the soul lusted after are departed from thee. These are all the things that they had lifted up. These are all the things that they had treasured in this life down here. And what did it say? They departed. they departed. It only took 1 hour. It only took 1 day. And it was gone. Everything that they had worked for. Everything that they had worked for. And then let's keep going down. It says that in verse, I'll pick it up in 14 again. It says, and the fruits that that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. Wow. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by the which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off from her, talking about Babylon, and shall stand afar off from fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Here it is, for in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. It's come to nothing. Think about all those things that you guys say that you would do in an hour. They've come to naught. They've come to nothing in the sense of eternity. Like I said, what is this life? This life is a dream. This life is a dream. The one to come is reality, guys. You got to get your mindset on that. This life is a dream. The one to come is reality. And, you know, the more you think about that, like it says here in verse 17 in chapter 18, for in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Think about all those things that we said that we would do. Those are some great things. I'm not saying that those aren't, they're bad. But guess what? God has something eternally greater for us in the life to come. And guess what? All those things that you guys talked about, they won't last. But the things that God has for us and wants for us will last for an eternity. They will last for an eternity. And, you know, that's the thing. I had to ask myself that this question. I was like, well, think about those things that you wanted to do, Alex. There, you know, you said you thought about being a NASA scientist or whatever, being a doctor, being a politician, being a CEO of a company, freezing in time, one of your favorite moments in history, whether it was with family or friends or whatever. Maybe being a professional athlete, maybe being a professional musician, being the president, being the general of an army, being a fighter pilot. Guess what? Why wasn't it being a pastor? Why wasn't it just simply being a Christian? Why wasn't it being used by the Lord? Why not travel back in time to spend 1 hour with the Lord while he was on the earth? Why not travel back in time and maybe spend some time with Paul, Titus, Philemon, some of the disciples? Why not? Why not? And the question I had to ask myself is like, this was a good test to see where my heart is. Where's my heart? Is it in this world? Or is it set on things above? As the Bible says over there in Colossians, set your affection. It says that singular. Because we have one true affection within our heart. And so, that's the thing. I thought about this thing when it came to what you see happening in Revelation in the first place. This is something that God, was a revelation. It was a basically like a vision that God gave to John. I thought about it. Well, this is probably something that God gave to John in an hour. That's why the book is so confusing. Because there's so much things that God showed him in that hour. And he's trying to, you know, in his human mind, understand it all and write it down and get it down. Think about that. What if God, you know, taps you on the shoulder and is like, hey, boy, come here. I got something to show you real quick. And he takes you up there and shows you for an hour everything that he has for you in eternity. And then he brings you back down here after that hour. How would you think you'd be able to write it and comprehend and map it all down? Do you think you'd be able to do that? I mean, think about that. Well, think about that's what John had to do. Now, I'm pretty sure he was probably up there for more than an hour, but let's just say that he was up there in an hour. This is the story I'm telling. You guys can do it whatever way you want to, but think about that. He probably took him up there for an hour and showed him all these things, and now John's like, his mind is just blown. How do I put this into words so people can understand it, so people can grasp it, so people can take it and utilize it within their life? So think about this. Each hour that God gives you is something that we should be thanking him for and use it to refocus on what he desires for us. I mean, think about that. This is something I thought about. Like, what if I just, honestly, like if I was in school, each hour I use that as an hour to refocus my time of like, okay, Lord, get me refocused on on you this hour and focus on what you want me to do this hour. I mean, think about that, like, as you guys go throughout your school day. You know, in each class, you probably have different friends. Each class, you probably have different scenarios and situations that are going on. And so each of those situations are another time for you to refresh your mind, to get it right, to go in there and be like, okay, Lord, what would you have for me to do in this class? Who would you have for me to talk to in this class? Who would you have for me to be a witness to in this class or in this situation? And this is something I think about within my own life, honestly, just now being an adult, like, okay, each hour is a time that I can refresh and get my heart and just being like, oh, Lord, thank you for this hour. It's the new hour. Thanking him for that hour and being aware of him, being conscious of him, being aware of what he truly desires for me within that moment. Turn over to Matthew 24. I'm sorry, before you do that, go to Revelation 3. Go to Revelation 3. Over here in Revelation 3 is another key concept with this thing. And this is one of those things that we always hear and we've always heard in the Bible, how no man knows the day or the hour that the Lord is going to come, right? Well, over here in Revelation 3:3 is something that's very cool. And it starts actually in verse 2. So I'm picking up in Revelation 3:2 and then ended in verse 3. And it says this: be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. So basically this person is saying that there's still work to be done. Aren't we still alive on this earth? Then there's still work to be done, guys. That's what he's saying right here. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Okay, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. That's what we do Thursdays, youth group nights, like tomorrow night, Sundays, when you're in Timothy group, when you're in your prayer group, or whenever we have times, if you're in the discipleship group, that's what he's talking about. Remember those things which you have received and heard. And what does he say? Hold fast. Hold fast to him. Don't let the world take him out of your heart. And then do what? Repent. Turn away. You got to turn away from some things. That's going to be the only way you hold fast and keep those things, is by turning away and ultimately applying those things to your life. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So think about that. What's the opposite of that? Well, if I am watching each hour for the Lord to come, then I will know when he's coming. Think of it this way. In relationships with friends that you're really close with, you get to pick up on their characteristics, who they are, their jokes, and you ultimately understand who they are. I mean, I think about it like, when it comes to like a situation with like a couple, like with maybe Jared and Kenzie, they could probably finish each other's sentences sometimes, or Erica might be able to finish like a thought I might have, or different situations like that. But the point is, when you get so familiar with somebody, your relationship is that close, you begin to understand their characteristics, how they behave, how they act, ultimately like what they're going to do. And that's a really great and strong relationship that you want to have, because that's ultimately what the Lord desires for us. When you're around someone long enough, you can pick up on, like I said, their tendencies and the certain things which other people can't see, but they're obvious to you. So that's the thing. Other tendencies that people can't always pick up on when you're close in a relationship with someone is because they haven't developed that relationship with them. But that's the thing. When you have developed that relationship with the Lord, what does he say within this verse? I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. That's when we haven't spent the time with the Lord. But when we do spend the time with the Lord, he's almost making it sound like there is something that we can see the hour that he's going to come. Because it comes from a true intimate relationship. You know, this stuff that we're talking about with sweat and talking about being able to witness to somebody, what does it come down to? It comes down to the individual relationship that you guys have to build with the Lord. That's, like I said, like the verse said preceding this, it said, or just at the beginning of verse 3, it says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. There's some things that you guys have received up here, right? And you've heard them, but you now have to apply it to your own personal relationship with the Lord to get the fruit of that thing, to know when he's trying to speak to you hour by hour and what to do, so that you can have that true relationship to understand, hey, little things like this, well, hey, because I have that intimate relationship with the Lord, I can know the hour he's going to come. I know oftentimes we look at what the Bible says. We have to look at the Bible, what the Bible doesn't say at the same time. In this verse, he says, I will come on thee as a thief if we're not paying attention. That's the only way we're not going to pay attention. And guess what? Why does the Lord come on us as a thief? Because, like I said, look at the things that we thought about what we would do within that hour. All those things were fixated down here on a earth that is fading away. It wasn't on the things that are eternal. Okay? And then he says, but if we are paying attention, I will come upon you. I'm sorry. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. But reverse it. If we do have a good relationship with the Lord, if we are seeking him, we will be able to know the hour that he's going to come. We will be able to know the hour when he's moving. We'll see those things and we'll be aware of those things and we'll desire those things. Turn over to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Actually, before that, go to Matthew 24. I apologize. Matthew 24. It says this in verses 42, 44, and 50. Does somebody want to read verse 42 through 44 for me?
I can.
All right, in your big boy voice.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh.
Well, that's the thing. Right here it's saying that if we're watching, we're without excuse. But usually the thing is, sometimes we're so caught up in our world, guys, we aren't watching for the Lord. We aren't really desiring that coming. So guess what? We get stuck in this world, and the next thing we know, get that knock on the door. Hey, Alex, is that you in there? Hold on, Lord. I got to finish this Jack Ryan show. It's really good. I'm on season 3, episode 3, and guess what? The Russians are getting ready to happen. Hey, Alex, I'm here. It's time to go. But, Lord, let me finish this episode of Jack Ryan. But, no. Am I watching? Am I waiting? It's very clear, guys. We can be without excuse. How God wants us to ultimately be is without excuse. He's given us the warnings. He's given us the signs. He's given us the things that we should look for. And that's ultimately a beautiful thing right here. If you keep going down and look at verse 50, it says this, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And so once again, it goes back to that hour. Like I said, each hour, guys, I know sometimes it's tricky when we're in our days and we're in our work, we're going through a lot of things, but I think that's something that's just cool because the Lord just showed me this. He's like, well, hey, I'm not saying that you always have to be, you know, focused on me every second within that hour, but what about this, Alex? What if you just, each hour that I give you, you refocus yourself on me? Hey, Lord, thank you for this new hour. Thank you for getting me through all that headache of that last hour. Maybe it was a bad test. Maybe it was a bad situation with some friends. Maybe whatever it was. But guess what? He gave you a new hour. It's a new hour. It's a new time for you to start over fresh with the Lord. Why? To look for his coming. To look for his coming. To increase or ultimately continue that fellowship with him. there's a great verse over there. In Matthew 10, now we'll go to Matthew 10, guys. I know I've been saying this for the last couple times. But Matthew 10 says this in Matthew 10, 19. And then the other one is in Mark 13, 11. So somebody read Matthew 10, 19, and then somebody get Mark 13, 11. I'll read Matthew 10, 19 then. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that what? Same hour what ye shall speak. So right here, if we're focused on the Lord each hour that he gives us, What does he say that he'll do for us? What does it say in that verse? That's a question. What does it say in the verse, guys? But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. Why?
For it will be given.
There you go. Say it louder.
For it will be given to you.
That's it. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. That's what the Holy Spirit will do when we have that consistent fellowship with Him. So think about when you're in these situations with your friends in class or things like that, and you know there's a friend in your next class. Do we go into that that class or school just focused like, Lord, I know I'm going to have this person in this class today. Please give me maybe a good way to open up a conversation about the Lord. If I'm focused on that, guess what the Lord would do? He'll give me the words to say. It's pretty simple, guys, but it takes the effort on our side, too. It's a two-way street. What does it say over there in Mark 13:11, Mace?
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
There it is. It says it's over in Proverbs. The preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So what you prepare within your heart, ultimately, the Lord will bring that thing out into fruition when you truly have reliance and dependency upon Him, which is a beautiful thing. I'm not trying to rely on myself, but I'm just depending on Him to bring it through. It's a beautiful thing. And guess what? When I'm focused on that thing spiritually, it's not just going to have a good effect on that person's life right here, right now. It's going to have a far greater reward, which is eternal. Which is lasting for eternity. Think about that. Think about what it's going to be like one day when you're able to see the Lord face to face, and you're going to be able to have some friends that are here next to you, and they're going to be able to thank you for the fact that you actually spoke to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now they're not in hell because of that. Think about that, guys. That's a great thing. And it's something that you'll be able to take with you for an eternity. I think about in my life so many different times. I've had friends, family, that God has put in my life, and maybe I didn't say or I hadn't prepared myself the way that I should have with God's word, or I just simply was a coward and I didn't speak up. And now guess what? I don't know where those people are at. I don't know. Because what did I do? I misused that hour that God gave me. God gave me an hour to talk to them. God gave me an hour to speak to them. God gave me an hour to do something. It's come and gone. What did I use that hour to do? Was it to scroll through Instagram? Was it to play a video game? Was it to go and do some things that I wanted to do? Or did I try to use that hour for the Lord's benefit? There's a great song that I like. It's by this family called the Clark Family. And it just simply says, with each borrowed breath, I will worship you. And, of course, I just changed the title. I was just like, you know, with each borrowed hour, you know. Because, honestly, yes, with each borrowed breath, it leads up to an hour. And I just thought about that. Well, with each borrowed breath that the Lord gives me, or with each borrowed hour that the Lord gives me, will I worship Him in that thing? There's some other songs that they have. And I just kept on using that phrase, the hour, the hour, the hour. And it says, this hour did they see Jesus in me. This hour did I leave with nothing left. This hour did I thank Jesus for His blood. This hour did I simply finish well. You know, like I said, guys, each hour is just simply the focus that we should have within our day, that we can start fresh and ultimately new, start something new with the Lord and keep it going. I'll read you the lyrics of this song, and then that'll be the last thing that I do. But if you haven't heard it, they have a lot of good songs, the Clark Family, and this one's just called With Each Ball of Breath. And it simply says this: with each borrowed breath you give, Every sacred day I live, Lord, my declaration is, I will worship you. Every hour is a gift, passing like the morning mist. The passion of my heart is this, I will worship you. Think about that. Every hour, will we worship him? In the best and worst of times, all that life may take me through, with each breath you give, Jesus, I will worship you. Every dawn, Lord, help me see the lands of time move like a thief. Think about that. 12 years ago, I was in your same position in high school. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It just seems like it was yesterday. And the hands of time move like a thief. The days are long, but the years are brief. Doesn't it seem like that? Doesn't it seem like when you're in school sometimes, it's like, I want this day to speed up. Lord, just help this day to speed up. Maybe ask the Lord to slow it down so you can utilize that hour for his purpose. And guess what? The years go by fast. Like I said, 12 years have come and gone like this for me. Come and gone. So guess what? Because the days are long and the years are brief, so I will worship you. In the best and the worst of times, all that life may take me through, with each ball of breath you give, Jesus, I will worship you. When I breathe my final breath and heaven's light becomes my rest, I'll join the song that never ends and I will worship you. Jesus, I will worship you forever. I will worship you. Let's just bow our heads and ask.